woman maid across the floor, says she right on out the door and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, October 19th, 2011. You're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode number 21. I'm your host, Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland, broadcasting to you today from Boston, Massachusetts. My co-host, Barb Jarvis, is currently on a cruise around the Northeast U.S. and Canada. Hope she's having a good time. Before we get started with today's show, I would like to say hello to my sister, Robin. Her 52nd birthday is this Friday. Rob, I hope you have a great day. Today we have the second half of our interview with caller Johnny Preston. Now this show's a little different. You'll mostly hear Johnny talk about his charity, Hoedowns for Humanity, his view of the future of modern Western square dancing, and what we can do to help introduce more people to our activity. At the end of the interview, Barb, Johnny, and I talk a little shop. I've included a little bit of our discussion. I hope you enjoy it. Let's jump right in with Johnny talking about his philosophy of modern Western square dancing.
I have a little bit of a different philosophy about the square dance activity right now. I would like to see a lot more callers trained to deal with people who do not square dance rather than training a lot of callers right now to function inside of the existing modern Western square dance activity. As you're probably well aware, we are not enjoying the level of success that we would probably all like. And I think numbers-wise, yes, certainly. Well, in just about every activity, the success of the activity is measured by the number of people that are enjoying the activity. And I don't know of a better way to, quantify it. Like I said earlier, I have a different philosophy about where we should be heading with square dancing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on some projects, to manifest that end.
Great. Anything you'd like to share?
I have, started Hoedowns for Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to see is square dancing associate itself with a well known charity as a vehicle to get ourselves out in front of the general public again. I think that there's probably millions and millions of people that want to square dance, but just once in a while. They don't want to be going every week and learning and learning and learning. I think there's millions of people that probably would like to do it maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, a couple times a year. I think that we focused in on, lessons and learn how to do this and progress through the levels. I'm not sure that that's a formula that works anymore. So my idea is to, is Sunday afternoons, people, they can DVR the football games and go out and do something with their families. and I think square dancing is just as good as anything else that they would want to go out and do.
Great.
That's for sure.
Is Hoedowns for Humanity something that people can currently get involved with or they can contact you about, or are you at that stage?
They can contact me. We've had a few events. I'm still kind of busy trying to make a living as a caller, so, it limits my time.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to, I've got some more events coming up in the future. I'm trying to find a way to expand it, and it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be.
Is everything kind of like a first nighter, or do you teach like 6, 7, 8, 10 calls and call from there, or what's the format?
Well, the format is, I think most people, square dancing can be presented as an afternoon or an evening of entertainment with very, very little teaching. You tell people to join hands and circle to the left. Somehow they inherently know what to do. And there are a lot of things that we can just, through explanation, without stopping the music and making it a teaching, that we can do and have people square dancing. And I think one of the biggest troubles we have is that modern Western square dancing has gotten so sophisticated that that callers themselves become the biggest obstacle. If they go back and do something the same way, they get bored, and they don't realize the fact that, well, these people haven't been here, they haven't done this for a year, it's all brand new to them again anyway, and they're really interested in moving, and the music, and the friendship, and the swinging, and that's what they're looking for, and you know, if they're doing this once or twice a year, it's all brand new to them every time they walk in the door, and I think the callers actually get bored with it much faster than the dancers do. Mm-hmm. And we have a culture of everything's got to be different, everything's got to be new, and that's awful hard to do with when you're using just a few calls. It has to have repetition. You could change the music, but you know, we can do the same old, you know, routines of square dancing and entertain people. And I'd really like to see callers get back to that kind of entertainment. Now, there are quite a few out there that still do. They specialize in party dances and what we refer to as one-night stands or something, but we have to find a new way to present our product, and I think that the, you know, lessons for 7 or 8 months and progression through the levels, I think it's one thing we can do, but I think we need to find other avenues to present square dancing to the general public without asking them to be there every week and don't miss, don't get sick, don't go on vacation. You know, I think that we became too focused on one thing, and now that that one thing isn't working so well, we're kind of floundering. We're not sure what to do, and there's lots of other things to do with square dancing.
You talked about what to do once you've got people in the room. From a marketing point of view, do you have suggestions for clubs or callers to get people in the door in the first place?
No, I don't. I think we're doing as good as we can with the product we're trying to sell. Right now, what we have to sell, the public's not buying, and we seem to be stubbornly insisting that we're going to sell that product instead of saying, you know what? Maybe we can find another product. And one of those things is that I think we need help in that marketing idea. And that is why I think finding a charity where people can say, hey, I'm going to go to a square dance today because it, you know, the money's, you know, some of the money's going to go to this organization or that organization. I happen to have picked Habitat for Humanity because I like the organization. I don't think that there's anything magic about that organization. I think, you know, if somebody wanted to, you know, do a series of events that would help Make-A-Wish or any numerous number of other charities, I think that that's something that, that will help us to sell this activity to the general public because the American consumer absolutely adores, you know, doing things for others, and you know the American psyche is a very charitable psyche, and I think that we can hold hands with an organization and get people out square dancing and do something else that's good, and I think that that's just a good marketing avenue.
One of the things that we'll be doing later this fall is starting a series of programs on recruitment and retention that clubs and callers can listen to about ideas to grow the activity. Almost certainly then we'll be getting back in touch with you about this and about other ideas. So I think it's genius.
I'm not suggesting that it's an either or. I think that modern Western square dancing still has a bright future. I just think that we can all do ourselves a huge favor by opening up another avenue of experience for people in square dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, millions of people, you know, we've got thousands of people that want to square dance a lot. And we've completely forgotten about the millions of people that might want to square dance a little.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that those are mutually exclusive. I think we can do both. And I think actually in the long run, and I do mean in the long run, I don't think this is something that I see too many callers get discouraged, say, well, I went out and did a one-night stand, and I didn't get anybody into my class from it. Well,
yeah.
if you went into it thinking that, then it was doomed to fail in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a standalone idea over a long period of time. I think that it can give square dancing a positive experience in people's lives. I think that there's far too many people that the only thing they know about square dancing is what they did in junior high school or in elementary school or something back when it was presented to them at a time when they didn't like touching girls or touching boys, and it was an ew experience. And I think we need to give everybody a chance to experience square dancing as a experience. Yeah, it's fun. And, you know, from that seed, we have an opportunity to, a better opportunity to identify and find people that would want to, you know, give it that, you know, hey, I need a hobby. I need something that I can go out and do on a regular basis, you know, to meet new people and to occupy some time and, you know, give me that few hours a week that I can just kind of relax and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's modern Western square dancing. That's what we're looking for, but we're having a hard time identifying those kind of people from the general public.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know what to expect. And I think we need to give them something, you know, where everybody can go and say, you know what, I just got to go this one Sunday, you know, a year. You know, I mean, I have this picture. Every church in the country that has a hall, whether it be a big hall or a little hall or everything, one time a year says, you know what, let's have a square dance. We can get everybody, you know, the family together, you know, grandma and grandpa and the kids and the grandkids and everything can all get together and have a fun afternoon. And you know what, at the end of the day, we give some money to a worthy organization, some charity, or, you know, even if it's just for the church itself, you know, that's where I think we need to focus some attention to put a positive thought about square dancing in everybody's mind. It seems obvious to me that we should be trying to get square dancing out in front of everybody and not just for the purpose of taking lessons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a huge amount of value in every time square dancing is done. And even the ones that are being done now, you know, I know that there's a lot of callers that do Girl Scouts. You know, an event once a year with Girl Scouts,
mm-hmm.
and everything. I think that's wonderful. I think that we need to start focusing on the millions of people that would want to square dance a little bit instead of the hundreds or thousands of people that want to square dance a lot. It's just a matter of focusing our attention on presenting square dancing to a lot of people so that they can have a positive experience about square dancing and not be feeling that they have to make a life decision about how they're going to spend the next 5 years of their life going out to square dance every week. To me, it just doesn't sound as appealing as trying to get a million people to a square dance one time.
And there's certainly, as you said, there's certainly a place for both.
Absolutely a place for both. It's just a matter of focus. I think we focused on the other thing to the detriment of the other. Let's shift our focus for a while. You know, what we're doing right now is not going to go away. I mean, it's, you know, it's still going to be there if we do this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be there if we don't do this other thing. It might not be there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do this other thing where we can at least get people out square dancing, I would like to see callers, you know, busy doing these things. Every Sunday afternoon, I think every caller in this country right now could be busy every Sunday afternoon calling for a church group. And I use Sunday afternoon for a church group only because it's a market that's already there. They're already out going to church on Sunday mornings.
Family time.
And family time and everything. Let's cash in on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a movement around this country to get back to traditional family values. Well, square dancing is one of them. You know, what better thing for the family to go out and do than to go out and square dance on a Sunday afternoon? And I'm not asking you to do it every week. I'm saying once a year, and every caller in this country will be busier than he can possibly imagine. And we still wouldn't put a dent in the population.
So, Johnny, how many of these have you done, and what's been your success level with, you know, numbers?
I just recently decided that I needed to keep track of every time I do something like that, that I needed to keep track of it. There have been, I have personally done probably around a dozen to 15 of them.
Okay.
And I would say that the average attendance at them is probably around 80 people. But I'm not, I think I can make those numbers a lot better. Now, I think that there's, you know, with Facebook and Twitter and the different social networks on the internet and just different ways of marketing it, I think that we can identify and find churches that can put hundreds and hundreds of people on the floor one time a year for an event.
And to clarify this for our listeners, are all of these associated with one particular charity, the Habitat for Humanity, or are you doing these for different groups, for different charities?
Yes, I'm trying to focus it in one direction because, you know, I think that if we focus in one direction, the impact can be so much better. That, you know, if we can get 100 callers doing events that bring, let's say, $500 each event to the one organization, and they're doing 20 events a year, you know, we're talking about a lot of money being focused in one direction, and that's going to make that particular organization stand up and take notice. And then I think that they can help us make it even more successful.
Sure.
But I think if we randomly are doing things, you know, oh, well, Square Dancers are great, you know, they give a lot to charity. Well, I think that sounds nice, but I think it sounds even better if that particular charity is standing up and saying, you know what, you know, when we're doing our national advertising spots and everything, we're going to start mentioning about, you know, this Square Dance connection that we've made because they are giving us, you know, $1 million, $2 million a year collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, I hear other organizations doing that all the time. You know, the PGA Golf Tour, they're always touting how much money they give to charity. And I think that that's a positive thing that we could be doing. Focusing it all in, you know, saying, hey, you know what, we're doing all this good stuff. People like to be part of things that are doing good stuff. And I think it, you know, I think it can have a, you know, snowball effect.
Well, it sure sounds like a win-win for both groups. And you know some of these people who try it are going to get hooked and want to take the lessons. At least give it a try.
I think that's exactly right. I think you're going to have, you know, every caller can sit there and just put his cards out on a table. I wouldn't recommend, you know, that there be, you know, these big lessons speeches being done because, I think that, you know, caller, you know, has his cards ready, and if somebody brings it up, you know, he can say, well, here, you can give me a call, you know, later, you know, and we'll talk about it, because there is, you know, other chances for you to go out square dancing. And I think eventually, if you got 1 million people out there square dancing once a year, you're going to have a certain percentage of them are going to want to do it some more. And, you know, and we should be ready to have that some more, but, you know, let them approach us about it instead of us, you know, really trying to make it sound like, okay, the reason I have you here is because I got some score dance lessons coming up. And that's not what we should be doing. We should be, it should be something that's, just for what it is, you know, hey, I just wanted to get you all together for a score dance on a Sunday afternoon and, you know, some family time and,
let's benefit.
Have a good time. Did you have fun? Yeah, well, we're going to do it again next year. You know, we'll look forward to seeing you then.
For the format of that, do you ask for like a free will donation or do you ask for a certain amount of money at the door or how would you handle that part of it?
The way I handle it is I charge a certain amount per person and I'd like it to be the same everywhere and that's $10 a person, $20 for a family. You know, you bring the whole family, it's $20 and, you know, as in any charity event, you know, you can have a, you know, bowl on the table that says,
yeah,
you know, if you, you know, with certain, if you find you have more disposable income and you'd like to, you can throw some money in the jar. The way I would like to see it formatted, I would like to see the callers paid. You know, I don't think this is something that callers should be just donating their time all the time for.
Yeah.
I think that they can be paid. I think that the church that organizes and throws the event can have, you know, can get some money from it, and that some of the money goes, you know, to the charity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a collective thing, you know. After 10 years, you know, to be able to say that, you know, $20-30 million has been donated by this, you know, in quotation, square dancing to this organization or that organization, I think that puts a nice warm feeling in everybody's heart about that, quote, square dancing.
And you can't buy that kind of positive publicity and marketing.
You can't buy that kind. Yeah, absolutely cannot. And I tell you, and I can tell you one thing, it is a tough thing to sell, for one person to try to sell.
Hopefully here you're reaching out to a lot more people who might be, amenable to trying something like this.
Well, have them contact me because, you know, if it's going to be, if they're interested in doing a hoedown for humanity, I have certain, you know, parameters and stuff that I would, you know, that I would want them to stick to in order to use the name. And I certainly encourage anybody that wants to do it, you know, on their own under, you know, for whatever charity that they want to, that, you know, absolutely go out and do it, you know, and you can make your own parameters. But, I think that, you know, if we all get together and make a collective effort at it, that I think that we can really, really, really move the world. I really do.
Yeah.
Just concerning contacting you, can you give us verbally, can you give us your email address so that anybody who does want to contact you can?
Absolutely. John Presto, JohnPresto, @yahoo.com.
At this point in our interview, we transitioned into Johnny talking about calls and concepts that he has authored. Enjoy.
So I'm sitting here and getting text messages and Facebook notices and whatnot from people who want me to ask you questions. So this would be a moment for our upper level dancers. Someone mentioned uh-huh. that you have written some concepts, and at least one that they mentioned was called Common Spot. Were you
yes.
the author of that concept?
I think author is a little bit, I think I was the first one to, the Common Spot already existed, and I think I was the first one to take it the next step.
Okay, can you give us, remember that everybody listens to this, mainstream plus C4, callers, dancers, can you give us a layman's understanding of Common Spot?
Well, yes, I think I can. There are times when two people come together and try to occupy the same spot, and I think they call that crashing or whatever, but where they try to occupy the same spot, and they simply take right hands. Most of the time, we make adjustments, and one of them becomes the center, and one of them becomes an end. What I did was I just said, no, both, if you're coming to a spot that's an end, both of you continue to think of yourselves as the end or the point or whatever spot they're co-occupying
mm-hmm.
and do the next call as if you had not adjusted or anything. So if you crashed together and became ends, then I want you to think of the next call as if you were an end still and the other person didn't, you know, wasn't forcing you to become a center or something.
Did you have to modify the prior call or the following call? In other words, if you said a diamond with a two-faced line in the middle and you said diamond circulate, there's going to be crashing that happens at that point. Did you have to say Common Spot, diamond circulate?
No, it would be the next call that the Common Spot, in other words, as a continuation, say I had arrived at that same ending formation, which would now be maybe a wave across the middle with two little mini waves occupying a common spot of the point of the diamond. And it's a very high level concept, so there's really no way to simplify it for a mainstream dancer. But let's say I had arrived at that particular formation. I could then say, okay, now, let's say it's boys that are occupying the common spot. I would say, boys, common spot, and then everybody diamond circulate, and this would allow us to go from that formation back into a symmetrical formation where they would form a two-faced line across the middle again, and the people that were in the center would be back into, well, for in this case, it would be like more like it looked like an interlocking diamond. So, yeah, but it started as a continuation move. For example, if I had a two-faced line in the middle and points of a diamond, and I says, everybody, do your part, diamond circulate twice. Well, the second one would be a common spot. They would act as common spot point to do their diamond circulate. Okay, so that's how it started. I was watching, for example, two-phase line, you say everybody split circulate twice, where you want them to
and then
not reevaluate, but yeah, end up back up in a two-phase line. For a moment there, they're all occupying common spots. So mm-hmm. I haven't dealt with that in a long time. And I'm surprised anybody even remembers it, but I'm sure that it has evolved considerably.
I'm going to think of you every time I hear it now, too.
Well, think of me when you reshape triangles.
That's yours, reshape?
Hmm? Yeah, I wrote that. Think of me when you do fascinating anything.
No.
Yes.
No, because, okay, so I call 3B and I dance 3B. And I still don't like fascinating, but I'll think of you if you like.
I took lessons with my first square dance club, and it was called Fascinating Singles, and we were the only plus club who could fascinate. Now, we didn't do fascinating, but we could fascinate, and I'm going to think of you when I hear fascinating, too.
Yeah. Well, fascinating was just applying something that really didn't exist to a call, but it looked like it could exist. I kind of think of fascinating anything as a as if you could call.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Scoot back and roll as if you could.
As if you could.
Continue. This is very good. You have more concepts and calls that you've authored.
Catch anything. The single file recycle.
Okay, mm-hmm. We're mad at you for that one.
No, I love that. Oh, that's great.
Single file, crazy.
I'm not sure that I actually wrote any calls from the beginning, except for reshape, I think. But, in the process of trying to find different things to do with calls, I came up with, instead of just one thing to do, I like to find, ways that I could apply different concepts upon concepts. Twosomes was an example of something that I remember sitting at a Friendly's in, I think in Boston, with John Cebulski and Clark Baker, and the once removed concept had, just been out for a while, and I kind of asked the rhetorical question of, well, if you can work your way into once removed, then you have to be able to, there has to be a way to work out of it. And from that, I think, was born the twosomes idea.
Hmm.
Awesome.
And I remember I did a workshop on it with a group, and somebody recorded it. And I remember traveling around a lot and having people saying, I didn't understand twosomes until I got this tape that you did, and now it makes sense. And I think I invented the idea of the south side rule, which says, if you start on the south side of somebody, you have to maintain that,
I got that.
You have to stay on that side of that person for the entire duration of the call. So, as an example to you, since we're talking shop a little bit, we need to find the call square through.
Mm-hmm.
I define the call square through as a pull by, and then the next one, if we're going to do another one, it's a quarter in and pull by.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't jive real well with the funny concept, because if I do a funny square through two, those who can would pull by. Now, does everybody quarter in and then determine if they can do the next part or not? No. So,
good question.
I think that that's one of the fascinating things of challenge dancing is when concepts collide.
I like that.
Well, it forms an interesting discussion, and sometimes not so interesting debates and arguments. And, you know, that's the debate about, you know, arguing about definitions and, you know, what does the definition say and everything, and people feeling that they have to, you know, have a perfect definition for everything.
Yeah.
All these discussions will go away the day they, the day they have that, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, that really is stuff that's way behind me. I mean, I don't even think about those things anymore. It's not, it's not part of my thoughts.
Thanks to Johnny Preston for the interview and for his ideas of how to introduce more people to square dancing. This is Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland. Happy cruising, Barb, and happy dancing, everyone. See you in a square.